Minister, welcome to Conversation With.
Thank you.
Let's look at the bilateral relationship between India and the United States. At the moment, though, you are actually in a tussle still with the United States in discussions with the tariffs. How are those going?
You know, you are a better person than me to answer this question about why do you use the word trade-off? Because you are a journalist, so you know better than me. The trade-off word means every time you do a trade, there is possibility of some spin-off coming out of it. So having dispute, otherwise if there's no dispute, why WTO would think about dispute redressal mechanism? Because we presuppose that every trade will have some dispute related to many issues. Now, as it happens, the mechanism to settle the dispute is either WTO or bilaterally. So we are working with United States bilaterally. We have been having a number of meetings. In fact, I'm already invited the Commerce Secretary and the United States State Representative to come to India for a commercial dialogue, which will have later this year or early next year, depending upon the scheduling, but definitely in January. So the idea is to resolve the issues. So I don't think having trade-related issues is something of any serious magnitude. This is inevitably bound to happen because if you have a trade relationship, you're bound to have some issues coming out of the relationship.
So you think it's inevitable there's bound to be some friction, but that it can be resolved? So are you optimistic?
No, I'm 100% optimistic because anyway, everything can be resolved. Now, the resolution should be acceptable to both the countries. And therefore, having such a good underlying relationship, that prepares a good framework to resolve the issue.
What about the United States accusation, which they made through the WTO, about India's cotton, for example? They say that India over-subsidizes cotton. WTO actually does acknowledge that some subsidies are possible, but that's only at 10%. Whereas the United States argues that you subsidize cotton to 50, sometimes 80% of the value.
India is a firm believer in following international law. As far as the trade laws are concerned, as enshrined in the WTO constitution, we follow those rules, not only by letter, but by the spirit of it.
Some would say that India is in a bit of a cushy position in this current trade jostling that's going on in the world, because a lot of it pertains to manufactured goods, whereas India's economy is very largely service-based. 55% of GDP is service-based. So in that sense, perhaps India, you know, will be able to perhaps benefit or perhaps even not be so heavily hurt by all these trade disputes. Do you agree?
No, actually, we never believe in fishing in troubled waters. We have relationship with countries, and because each country is different and unique in its own way, our relationship also differs from country to country. But as a commerce minister, I'll tell you that I have at least 150 countries' ministers. I have met them in various forums, platforms, talked to them. And we have excellent trading relationship with most of the countries of the world. China is our largest trading partner. So obviously, we have a trade deficit with China. So on the 26th of March earlier this year, the Chinese commerce minister, who is a very senior politician and also very senior in their political hierarchy, visited India. We had an excellent discussion and we already agreed that we like to balance the trade over a period of time, for which China had agreed to allow some of the exports from India to China, which is already happening. Also, China's other part of that was to have industrial parks in India so that those goods which are imported from China can be manufactured in India, which will benefit both. China's investment will be there, as well as we'll also create jobs as well as possibilities of making it in India. With United States, we share not only trading relationship, but we share value system with United States. Both the countries have more or less founding fathers of these countries believed in the same principle, which have been practiced through various democratic institutions over a period of time. So with United States and China, we have a different kind of relationship, but with both we have good relationship. And therefore, as far as the trade relationship is concerned, we'll be very happy to do trade with everybody. And we always wish well for all our friends. And both are our good friends, so we wish them well.
President Trump has said that he thinks that the world trade regime is unfair and that it needs to be fixed. Do you think that the world trade regime is unfair and it needs to be fixed?
You know, let me t- tell you something which is very important is that a world cannot grow economically unless there is a world trade. And in fact, if you really look at it, the civilizations have grown around trade. The interactions of one part of the world to the other started because of trade. People migrated because of trade. And the migration as well as this interface between different communities, different parts of the world has helped not only trade to grow, but civilizations to grow. Obviously, some countries have benefited more than others, but there has been a world trade has grown globally. Now, I'm not of the opinion that because it has grown, the World Trade Organization needs no change. All organizations need change, including United Nations, including all the multilateral bodies, including WTO.
So if I understand correctly, though, so you're saying that you think the World Trade Organization can be fixed, it can be reformed, it doesn't need to be destroyed, it shouldn't be dismantled.
I take this point that WTO needs to be reformed, made it better, but absence of WTO will be a disaster for the entire World Trade as a whole. So we feel, and we are engaged with United States. We have more than 3 million people naturalized there. Almost 5 million people work there and go and on and off. We are the biggest buyers of strategic assets from United States. We also trade with United States, going beyond goods into services. We have many students of India. We study there and we spend maybe $20-25 billion every year on that. So we have a large, very substantial engagement with United States. So we'll be working with United States and all other countries. So when we want to reform WTO, in my opinion, it should not be at the exclusion of any country. Let us together, I told you to European Union, I told you to ASEAN leadership, that let us work together and prepare an agenda which is acceptable to most of the countries in the world to make, so it, agenda depends upon what is your mission, to make WTO better, to make it more efficient. So that is what should be the mission.
But not to destroy it, not to dismantle it.
I personally feel that no country will benefit from it.
Sometimes the subtext on this trade discussion appears to be actually a form of nationalism, you know, talking about buy America, hire America. Has India ever considered doing something similar from a political sort of point of view of saying, you know, buy Indian, hire Indian? There has been, of course, Make in India, but Make in India was a very outward-looking thing, in fact, encouraging FDI.
You know, tell me one country in the world which makes as a part of a constitution or a resolution in the legislature or the statement by the heads of state or head of the government that will buy everything which is made in other countries. Tell me one country in the world, I would like to know about that country. Which is that country in the world which will say that will not make anything in my country, will not even provide services in my country, I will get everything made from outside the country. All services used in India or any my country will be used from taken from outside. All agriculture production will be made outside and bring into India.
It's a difficulty, Minister, that we tend to associate now. The idea of trade has become almost negative, which it wasn't previously, and that then we have these sort of nationalistic overtones that have come in, perhaps stemming from the trade war between the US and China.
You know, I, honestly speaking, we are not part of any war with anybody. So we are not at war with either the countries or any other country in the world. We strongly believe that all disputes can be resolved through a proper process. And there is a process which is not sufficient enough, not dynamic enough. We should try to improve the process. I fully understand that every country has a right to profess their own national priorities. There's nothing wrong with that. Only issue is, how do you find out a meeting ground between two approaches which will result into mutual benefit? That's what the skill of negotiation. So we should try to find out.
If we look at the agreement that everybody is discussing now, RCEP, India is part of that. But not everyone in India is convinced that it is good for India, that what it will mean is that there will be more goods coming into India, in fact, worsening the trade deficit and the current account deficit.
RCEP is Regional Cooperation Economic Partnership. As you know, in common parlance, economic means all elements of economic activity. which includes goods, as you mentioned, but services, agriculture, and many others, including investments. But services will be a key part of this agreement as well. And therefore, India will obviously be looking at services becoming more and more integral part of this. And we will clearly see services as a percentage of trade will be rising faster than goods. We'll also see services becoming an important component. On agriculture, India has 600 million tons of agriculture and horticulture production put together. So we have come out with agriculture export policy. So we obviously look at India not alone benefiting, but certainly benefiting, because I don't think any country would join unless the national interests of that country are protected. No other country anytime would say that we want to join it because I want other countries to benefit. National interest demands that every country must benefit. India must benefit, but so are the others. So it's always a discussion to find out complementarity, to discover win-win situations, to find out where we'll benefit, I also benefit.
So you don't think that the trade deficit that actually India has with most of the members in RCEP will worsen?
I don't know on what basis you make this statement, because as I told you, we already have free trade agreements. So we have 13 countries, 12 countries, we already have free trade agreement.
The Indian Steel Association, though, has already expressed some concerns. They've said that they're worried, perhaps, that given the current climate as well, and if RCEP is accepted as well, that what will happen is that China might end up dumping steel in India.
Yeah, unless you have some classified information about it, I don't know, because there are enough laws which regulate proper imports. Incidentally, we don't have a RCEP agreement with China, but still we have the highest trade deficit with China. So if we have a regulated regime in which we'll try to do it, in any case, there are enough laws which will prevent any kind of dumping under WTO rules as well as bilaterally. We can definitely look into that. But that's what I'm saying. If this is an argument based on some classified information, please share with me. We'd like to use it as an input.
So you would reassure the steel manufacturers in India that there
will never be an agreement which is not in India's national interest. But if I only say only India should benefit and others should lose, and all of the countries come out with the same argument, there will not be any argument, forget agreement. We are trying to find out what is best, and therefore we are putting forward our genuine concerns. And I am very happy to say that all of the countries are realizing that they are very genuine apprehension, genuine concerns which have been put on the table. So we'll definitely work on that.
So final question, Minister. You will reassure Indians that growth in India will not be affected by these trade hiccups that are taking place globally, that growth in India will still be strong, GDP will hit the targets that, let's say, for example, the IMF has put up, that it would be over 7% for sure. Just how high in the sevens?
See, actually, India is growing, the fastest growing large economy of the world. So what you're saying is absolutely right. We could have even grown at 10% if there were global challenges that exist today were not there. But what is important is, despite the global challenge, India has grown at 8%. So what does it mean? That means India is growing at a faster rate. Last 6 years, 5 to 6 years, we had a negative growth of exports when there was no trade war. Last 13 months, we have been seeing continuous growth of exports almost close to 15%. When there has been the situation is adverse. So that means our economy is resilient to it, and we have been able to strategize it properly. So when there were headwinds, we could grow at a faster rate. I don't have time to explain to you, but we are taking even micro level measures, which will result into economic growth happening at a macro level much faster. So we'll definitely work on it. But I really take your good suggestions, and I'm very happy to see that such a very reputed news organization like yours is taking so much interest in India. That itself shows that India will grow faster than what it is growing today.
Minister, thank you very much for being on Conversation With.
Thank you very much. Thank you for this honor. Thank you very much.